Hello and welcome to another episode of the Leo Alves podcast. And in today's podcast episode, I'm going to do something a little bit different to what I would usually do. And when I say that, it's because, as you know, in most podcast episodes, I speak about updates with my private life or current thoughts, as well as what makes up the majority of podcast episodes, which is the subjects of training, nutrition, workouts, strength training, healthy living, fitness, as well as the fact that I would then get other guests to come on with me to speak about those subjects in even more depth. But in today's podcast episode, it's going to be a solo one where I'm going to speak about some books that I've read over the past 2 years. So I've got no idea how long this podcast episode is going to be. And to be fair, some books, I can't really remember them very well because, again, it was like 2 years ago when I read some of them. But, you know, even if I just share like one or two sentences with you about what I thought about the book, I think that could still be quite valuable. And then other books that I do have a better memory of, I'll go into a little bit more depth with them. So this is like just like a book club sort of episode. And I think you could find some value from that. If you're not interested in reading at all, then finish off this episode right now and go to a previous episode. And you certainly don't have to listen to this one. But if reading is something you like to do, then keep listening. So anyway, I'm going to admit before I start that I've been slacking on my reading quite a bit this year. And I only say that because, okay, I mostly read non-fiction books, but this year I've been reading a book to, so it's a book called A Guide to Japanese Grammar. So every time I'm reading, that's what I'm reading. So it's the least exciting book that you could probably ever think of. But to someone who is learning Japanese like myself, then it's incredibly useful. So if you are learning Japanese, then I would recommend A Guide to Japanese Grammar by Tae Kim. If not, then here comes the more exciting books and the books that you'll probably be more interested in. And again, this is going back almost 2 years ago. So do bear with me. I'm going to do my best to basically just remember them. Anyway, in no particular order, by the way, I'm going to just go through them. So I've got my Kindle right in front of me right here. And the first book that I see is The Body. So it's a book called The Body by Bill Bryson. And I read that book actually in 2020. So that's going back 3 years ago. And although I don't really remember how it goes, to be fair, I could do with rereading it. I do remember I really liked it. And I do remember I suggested the book to a lot of people. So I do need to go back and reread that. And, you know, just trusting the judgment of my old self back in 2020, I would trust that it's a good book still. Again, I don't really remember it too well, but I would recommend it just from memory and from how I felt about it back in 2020. But again, I am quite curious to read it now. The next book that I'm going to go on, so that was a very short one again, just because it was from a good few years ago. The next book is, actually there's two that I'm going to mention together just because they cover the same subject, which is number one, the book is called On Writing Well by William Zinser, and the other one is Write Tight by William, I'm going to butcher that surname, Brohager. I can't see the last letter, but it's by another guy called William as well, and it's called Write Tight. And those two books are really valuable books if you want to improve just your written language. And I remember I read them just because that was during a time where I was writing a lot of articles. I was also reading a lot of articles, but I was actually writing a lot of articles for the Keras Online website. And I wrote up to nearly 50 articles. I don't know if I hit 50. I think I hit like 48. And I just use those books to help me develop my skills in writing. So if writing is something that you want to improve at, then I would recommend it. I know that artificial intelligence recently has taken huge leaps and, you know, you can tell it to write things for you, which, you know, yeah, you could, like I just said, but I promise you now, it does sound a little bit robotic, and it's never going to sound like you. Like, it's not going to sound like you wrote it. So nowadays, when it comes to using AI to assist me, I'll just tell it to give me ideas and maybe guidelines, but I'll never let it write for me because, again, it just doesn't sound like me when it comes out, when it spits out information and writing. So I just use it for inspiration and ideas. And again, if articles is something that you are interested in writing, then I would recommend Write Tight and On Writing Well, because it's only going to help develop your written language. And then the next book is a book called Your Next Five Moves. So it's by a man called Patrick Bet-David. So Your Next Five Moves, Master the Art of Business Strategy. And it's very good just for someone, obviously, who wants to develop in the world of business, as you may or may not have guessed from just that title. And I'll be honest, I don't remember too much how that book goes as well. I'm starting with the older books, as you can probably tell. I know I said no particular order, but my Kindle actually does have this in order of oldest to newest. So yeah, Your Next Five Moves by Patrick Bet-David. What I can say about that book is that I remember I liked the author quite a bit, that I decided to start following him on social media and consuming his content. I now listen to his podcast quite consistently as well, and I actually really like him as a person, and you know what he speaks about, what he does. His podcast, I'll be honest, it does speak a lot about American politics. I might be wrong, I think he's Iranian, but he's grown up nearly his entire life in the USA, and he's a businessman. And he's just very articulate. He articulates himself well. Again, he does speak a lot about politics. He's definitely more right-wing. And I don't want to get too political here, but I really like his podcast. It's because he's good at seeing the other side. And his podcast isn't necessarily an echo chamber. He's good at inviting guests from both sides, so whether it's left wing, center, right wing, and he just lets everyone have their point of views and lets everyone discuss what it is they have in mind, and he won't hesitate to say whether or not he feels like they're right, or he agrees with them, or he won't hesitate to change his mind. And that's what I really respect about him, because regardless of where I stand politically, one thing I've always promised myself is I will never put myself in an echo chamber. And I think that's very important, because let's say you are right wing, or let's say you're left wing. The worst thing you can do, I personally think, is just follow social media. So obviously you've got your real world bubble, and chances are you're going to be surrounded by like-minded people. And nowadays as well, now on social media, so on the internet, the algorithm is very good at giving you what you want and what you like watching. And chances are, let's say I'm just going to use left wing as an example. If you are left wing, then it's just going to keep providing you more with left-wing content, more left-wing content, more left-wing content, which means that you're never challenged on your beliefs. And the same goes for, you know, if you're in the center or if you're right-wing, and again, your beliefs are never challenged, then that could be an issue, don't you think? So what I really like is I like to follow people from all sides. And it won't just be anyone, because, you know, sometimes you do get the odd person on a specific side who, let's put it bluntly, they just chat shit. But what I do like is people who articulate themselves super well, and Patrick Bet-David is one of them. So whether or not I agree with him or disagree with him, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, I don't have to agree or disagree with everything he says, but as long as he articulates himself very well, comes with good arguments, doesn't put anyone in an echo chamber, lets all sides speak, I really respect that about him, and I love that. And he makes fantastic points as well. So, and obviously his business advice is very good. Anyway, the next book was a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. I really liked that one. I did read that one back in 2020 as well, so I don't remember how it goes too well, but I do remember it was something I really liked, and I would recommend it, especially if you are looking to improve your habits. So that could be health habits or fitness habits. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are your health and fitness is somewhat of a priority, at least maybe if it's not now, and maybe you've slacked off more recently, then chances are you've wanted to improve it in the past, or you are meaning to improve it. So I would recommend that as a book that could help. And on that note of books that help with habits, Tiny Habits is actually another book as well that I would recommend by an author called BJ Fogg. So both those books are great books for just understanding how you can improve your habits. There's a lot of gems in there, and I know I took a lot away and now nothing's coming to mind because I'm on the spot. Something has come to mind. So, and I think both these books mention this, but both these books have a different term for it. I don't know if it's like a branding sort of thing, but this was a tip that stuck with me, and it forever changed the way I just did my own habits, or set out my day, or would even instruct Keras, or would even make recommendations to Keras Online members as well for how they can potentially improve their habits. But there is something called, I think, Tiny Habits. So BJ Fogg calls it habit coupling. I can't remember what James Clear calls it, but it's basically where you... So let's say you've got a habit that you're already doing every single day, like brushing your teeth, and then you follow that up with a habit that you want to start doing. Let's say if you want to start improving your push-ups. So every time you do that habit that's already ingrained, so brushing your teeth, you would then make sure that you always follow that up with the habit that you want to start doing, which is improving your push-ups. So you could always follow brushing your teeth with doing 3 push-ups. And then like that, every time you brush your teeth, you do 3 push-ups. So that's 6 push-ups every day. I'm not going to do the maths, but you know, by the end of the week, that's already a lot of push-ups. By the end of the month, you've already done so many more. And because you're doing it after an already existing habit, then you are very likely to be consistent with it. So that can be a huge game changer, and that can go for anything. It doesn't necessarily have to just be improving your push-up, but it can go for many different things. Another gem that I took away from both these books, and both these books do mention it, is where you want to optimize your environment to help serve as a reminder sometimes. So let's say something that you're very inconsistent with, and you just keep forgetting for whatever reason. And you know what, I could use the example of myself recently. And you know what, I get a lot of Keras Online, not a lot, I do get a few Keras Online members. If you don't know what Keras Online members are, it's my online members that I work with, just from any area of the world. There are no geographical limitations, and members I help improve their health, fitness, help them achieve their goals, whatever it might be, and then we work towards that together. So if you are interested in becoming a Keras Online member, the link for the inquiry form is in the show notes of this podcast episode. But anyway, a common issue I have some Keras Online members come to me with is they can be quite inconsistent with taking, let's say, their creatine. So let's say I've recommended creatine monohydrate to a specific online member. And for creatine to work, you do have to consistently take it every single day. You can't just take it some days and other days you can't. Like, you have to be consistent with that. So if you're only taking it like 3 days a week, you're not going to get the benefits from it. So if you're taking creatine monohydrate right now and you're trying, or let's say any supplement, and you're not very consistent with it, you just keep forgetting, what you need to do is switch the location of the creatine in your house to somewhere where you are. It's like, just seeing that the creatine monohydrate is there is going to serve that as that reminder. So what I do nowadays is I leave the creatine monohydrate out in the open. I used to leave it in my cupboard, and there I would forget more often. But nowadays I leave it out in the open on the table in my bedroom. So by the mirror, I can always see it's there as I'm getting ready to do whatever it might be, whether it's just going out to meet up with friends, if I'm going to jiu-jitsu, I can always see it's there. And I'm like, oh yeah, my creatine monohydrate is there, and it serves as that reminder. So you have to optimize your environment to make you more consistent with habits as well. And that is another gem I took from Tiny Habits and James Clear. Tiny Habits and Atomic Habits by BJ Fogg and James Clear respectively. So those are two books I would recommend. Now, James Smith, not a diet book. I really love James Smith as a personal trainer. I've read all three of his books. And the Not a Diet book was probably, for me, it was the least interesting one. Now, I do want to emphasize I wasn't the target audience for it. I do think it's an amazing book for someone who is probably starting from complete scratch, where they have no idea what to do with their health and fitness. Maybe they've been out of shape their entire life, and they just need some assistance or guidance, or they need some tips of what to do. I think, you know, reading James Smith's Not a Diet book can be a great place to start for that, just because it tells you about how you can lose fat simply, how you can gain confidence, transform your life, etc. And on that note, there's another book who I would recommend as well, that also I would put in that same category, where it was a really good read, but I wasn't the target audience again. But the reason why I read this book, so it's actually called Eat It, The Most Sustainable Diet and Workout Ever Made, Burn Fat, Get Strong, and Enjoy Your Favorite Food Guilt-Free, by my mentors, actually, Jordan Syatt and Mike Vicanti. And so the reason why I read that book by James Smith and Jordan Syatt and then Mike Vicanti, again, even though I wasn't the target audience, so I knew everything that they were speaking about in that book already. I didn't really learn anything new. But the reason why I thought it would still be a good read is because I knew for a fact that these three guys are amazing trainers. They're amazing coaches. I've already learned a lot from them. So perhaps they communicate something in that book that I already know, but in a better way than me. And then I can take it with me moving forward. Maybe it could be an analogy that I've not heard before, and then that analogy I just think is amazing and I start using it. Or just a different point of view on the same subject, and maybe just something, a way to just put something even more simply, quite ironic that I was struggling with the word simple. But yeah, those are the reason why I read those books. And again, I would recommend those books for someone who is just starting out on their fitness journey. And that was something I really liked as well. If you're a bit more advanced in your fitness journey, maybe like you're advanced, then I wouldn't suggest those books. But maybe if you're a beginner or even intermediates could perhaps still learn something. But if you're a beginner, then definitely. The next book I read was a book called Motivational Interviewing in Nutrition and Fitness. And I'm going to be honest, I heard about this book, and it's like the motivational interviewing part. I know that same author has a book already, I think just called Motivational Interviewing, and it's not like nutrition and fitness related. It's just general day-to-day life. And I haven't read that book, but I have heard it's quite good. But I read this one specifically just because, you know, I work in the world of nutrition and fitness. And if a book can help me communicate to day-to-day people, like everyday people I speak to, like yourself, maybe reading this book could help me then therefore communicate better with you, then I think that's amazing. But I'll be honest, there are some great suggestions in there, but I think I didn't agree with it too much on some things. Like I noticed it spoke down a lot on calorie tracking, which, you know, I'm not saying calorie tracking is for everyone. It's definitely not. But I think it has a time and place. And I did find that it failed to include that sort of context. Like it just shunned it as a negative thing. And I noticed it done that a few times throughout with certain dietary approaches, whereas it would push others. And it did get to the point where I was just like, you know what, I'm not really a fan of it. And my Kindle says I got 65% through and then I gave up. But again, I think I got like 40% through and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this book already. But I didn't want to dismiss it. Like, as I said, I never want to put myself in an echo chamber. I want to actively seek out ideas and stances and angles that I disagree with so that I can therefore potentially, you know, learn more. Maybe something that I just didn't know about and I can see something from a new point of view. So I think it was around 40% in, according to my Kindle, where I was like, I don't know about this, but I'm going to keep giving it a chance and I'm going to keep going. But I think eventually I got to 65% and I was like, I'm really not liking this one. So I just left it. And so would I recommend it? Probably not. And the next book was a book called Not a Life Coach by James Smith. Again, I've read all his books. So you'll hear me mention his third one shortly. But Not a Life Coach, I think that's one of the best books I've read over the last 3 years or for a long time at least. And I just really liked it. So I'm not going to spoil the book for you, but it just basically helped me look at life in just a completely different angle. But one thing I do want to share with you from the book is like a short story that he shares in the book that he heard and that he really liked. And when he shared this short story, I really liked it too. So I'm going to share it with you right now and I'm going to read it word for word. So the story is basically one day, a successful businessman was on vacation in a small coastal village. As he walked along the shore, he saw a fisherman pulling in his boat and the businessman struck up a conversation with the fisherman and asked him how long it had taken to catch those fish. So the fisherman replied, only a little while. And then the businessman then asked, why didn't you stay out longer and catch more fish? And the fisherman then said, this is enough to support my family's needs. To which the businessman then asked, but what do you do with the rest of your time? So the fisherman then said, I sleep late, fish a little, play with my children, take a siesta with my wife, Maria, stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine and play guitar with my amigos. I have a full and busy life, senor. The businessman scoffed and said, I am a Harvard MBA and I can help you. You should spend more time fishing and with the proceeds, buy a bigger boat. With the proceeds from the bigger boat, you could buy several boats. Eventually, you will have a fleet of fishing boats. Instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you would sell directly to the processor, eventually opening your own cannery. And then you would control the product, processing, and distribution. You would need to leave this small coastal fishing village and move to Mexico City, then LA, and eventually New York City, where you will run your expanding enterprise. And the fisherman then asked, but sir, how long will all of this take? To which the businessman then replied, maybe 15 to 20 years. And then the fisherman then said, but then what? And the businessman laughed and said, that's the best part. When the time is right, you would announce an IPO and sell your company stock to the public and become very rich. You'll make millions. And then the fisherman said, millions? Then what? To which the businessman then said, then you would retire, move to a small coastal fishing village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take a siesta with your wife, stroll to the village in the evenings where you could sip on wine and play guitar with your amigos. And I thought that was a really interesting way to basically put, he would end up doing the exact same thing as he was doing before after all of that. So that was quite interesting, quite opening. Of course, you can take from that what you want, but I personally really liked that. And then another book I would recommend that I really liked as well was a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Now, the reason why I really like this book is I think this book is really good. I think it's just a really good book. It's incredibly well written. And the most impressive part of that book is that it was written in 1936. So before World War II, and it's still so applicable to today. Not one part of the book is just like really awkward because it doesn't sound like it belongs to today's day and age. Like it was written nearly 100 years ago and it still is super applicable to today. So I think that the author done an amazing job, Dale Carnegie, he done an amazing job of just making it a timeless book. Like, it's really good. I would recommend it. It's definitely changed my outlook on how I communicate with people as well. So I know maybe the title sounds a little bit, I don't know if cringe is the right word, so How to Win Friends and Influence People. But again, it's a really good book and I would recommend it. And just the fact that, again, it stood the test of time. You can read it today in 2023. So a book from 1936 and still then turn around and apply it the very next day. And it will work very well for you. So I would recommend it. So that's How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And then the last book I've read recently was How to Be Confident Again by James Smith, which again, I really liked. I read it, I think it was towards the end of 2022. And again, I really liked it. I think James Smith's books are always written incredibly well. I guess, you know, I wouldn't have read all three books if I didn't feel like that. And the first book I read from him was Not a Life Coach. And that was very impressive. And then I read Not a Diet Book. And then I read How to Be Confident. And it wasn't necessarily because I wanted tips on how to be more confident. Like, I feel like I'm a fairly confident person already, especially with what I do, where I communicate with all sorts of people from all walks of life very often. But it was more so, again, just because James Smith is someone I've learned a bunch from. So when he releases a book, I'm likely going to buy it anyway, just because number one, I know it's going to be written incredibly well. And number two, I'm probably going to learn something from it. Anyway, that is pretty much it for this podcast episode. Overall, if I was to recommend a few books to you on the back of this podcast episode, so I would recommend, in no particular order, James Smith, Not a Life Coach, Tiny Habits, or Atomic Habits. I don't think you really need to order both. I think one of those can work incredibly well for you. So those are two recommendations there. And then Eat It by James Smith and Mike Vacanti, or Not a Diet Book by James Smith. Again, you don't necessarily have to read both. I think one of those will be enough. And then How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I think with those four books, you can make a lot of progress in whatever it is that you're trying to improve on. So otherwise, again, that is pretty much it from me today. I am going to keep reading the most boring suggestion it wasn't a suggestion. So I'm going to keep reading the most boring book I've mentioned throughout, which is A Guide to Japanese Grammar. I'm about halfway through. And then once I finish reading that, I'm actually going to start reading a book called The Dip by Seth Godin, which I've been recommended quite a few times now. So I guess when I finish reading that, I'll let you know what I thought of it. It's also worth mentioning that the books I've mentioned throughout this podcast episode aren't the only books that I have read throughout the past 3 years. I have read other books, but the books that I did mention within this episode are probably the books that I felt were worth mentioning the most. But otherwise, if you've got any book suggestions for me on the back of this podcast episode, then please do DM it to me on social media. So it can be on Instagram, on Twitter, or even email the suggestions to me. I'm always open to more book suggestions. But again, otherwise, take care and share this podcast episode with someone you love, and I'll see you around.